Well, it's been an incredible day today. I'm going to just be honest with you. They don't make too many days like this in Ohio. It's been really sweet today, hasn't it? Isn't it amazing that the Lord sends his best and brightest around the world to represent his loving kindness? And today, I hope that you've felt that as you've interacted with some of our international workers and can just think of moments in my life where I've had the privilege of watching them do the thing that they do to bring glory and honor to him. And tonight, we want to celebrate him. And tonight, I want to tell you that I believe God's word is a gift to us. He says his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. And tonight, I believe that God has a blessing and a warning that he wants to share with us tonight. Now, might not surprise too many of you, but I played a little bit of football in high school. I look like a football player. I've been told that. And the position I played was linebacker, outside linebacker in high school. And one of the things about playing linebacker in high school is that you are desperately dependent on the person who is behind you. Let me explain what I mean by that. So often there's a safety that's behind you, and most of the things that you do as a linebacker are in front of you. You're trying to decide if it's a pass. You're trying to decide if it's a run. Everything is focused in front of you, and you do not notice. Remember how we were talking about blind sides, and you do not always notice what is to your right or to your left or that it's coming from the side. And I can just tell you that my life often depended upon the person that was behind me. And what I mean by that is there were times when to your side there would be a tight end or a running back, and they would be coming to do what is lovingly called a crack block. And what a crack block means is that when you are not paying attention and you are looking this direction, they are running with everything that they have in their body to destroy you. And there were a couple of times. Now, thank goodness I played football before they had invented concussions. And I can remember one of those times. So now I'm telling you, the guy behind you could decide because he's watching it all play out. And he can decide. He's on your team. He's wearing the same uniform as you. And he can decide if he wants to watch you get obliterated or if he wants to love you enough to yell, "Crack!" And there were a couple times when he didn't. And I can remember one time so vividly. I got so hit so hard. I didn't know where I was after it was over. Not only did I get concussed, but I found myself laying on the ground. There were Tweety birds above my head. You know, as we talk about God's word today, I want to say thank you to him for loving me enough to give me warnings. And tonight we're going to sense something as we study God's word that is so sweet to me. And it is a confrontation that's going to take place between the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. And it's going to fit into a moment in history that on the first read, when you see it play out, it's going to look like a crisis, actually. It's going to feel like a tragedy. But what I sense when we study this is that the Apostle Peter, in his ministry, he's an amazing man, a man who did so many things for the kingdom and someone that God chose to, what was his name? Literally, it meant the rock, right? And the rock that the Lord chose to build his church on, today when we see him, he's going to look a little more like a pebble. And the reason why he's going to look like a pebble is something that I believe in my heart is a temptation for each and every one of us. And tonight, I want to give a little bit of a warning. And I want you to notice the Apostle Paul is screaming this warning that there is a temptation inside of each and every one of us. And that is to allow ourselves to put a mask up that allows us to look just a little bit more spiritual than what we actually are, that allows ourselves to put our best foot forward in a way that helps other people think a little bit higher of us than what they ought. And that temptation ultimately has a massive impact on our churches, on our families, on our friends, on our loved ones. And what we see in this is that we see a moment in history recorded in Scripture as a gift to us, a warning to us about the fact that our hypocrisy, or our, you know what that word literally means in Scripture? is that it means a mask wearer or someone who chooses to play a part. And I want to say to you today that part of life feels like we ought to fit a certain role. There are ways that pastors are supposed to dress. There are haircuts pastors are supposed to have. And for some of you in the roles that you have, maybe you felt that way, that you have felt like there's things in your life that God expects of you. And at times when you haven't felt it, you've chosen to allow yourself to move into something that feels a little bit less authentic. Why? Because your desire is to allow other people to see something in you that isn't actually authentic. And tonight, as we talk about this, my hope for each and every one of us is that we can learn from the experience of Peter, that we can learn from the confrontation from the Apostle Paul in such a way that it allows us to recognize, by the way, do you believe that God knows everything about you? Oh, I sure do. Do you believe that he loves you in spite of everything that you have? He's a good father, right? He loves us perfectly. And tonight, the freedom or the gift that I hope that I can share with you is that the Lord of the universe wants us to come to him as we are. And when we do so, when we allow him to reign in our lives, I love the way that Chuck Swindoll puts this. He says, when we allow God to be the one who is in residence in our hearts, this is the way he words. He says, joy is the flag that flies above the castle of their hearts, announcing that the king is in residence. Church, brothers and sisters, friends, this evening, it is my joy to remind you of the fact that the Lord wants to love us perfectly, and he wants us to identify the blind spots in our life that might allow us to justify putting on masks that might lead to great harm to those around us. So we said, tonight we're going to look at somebody who's highly relatable, not so smart in scripture, and I'm going to talk about the Apostle Peter. Now it's hard to pick on Peter. I mean, people like to pick on Peter because you remember he gets out of the boat and he sinks. I'm just going to be honest, I probably wouldn't have been out of the boat. Probably would have been one of those in the boat that was afraid to get out. Peter was one who leaped, and it's awesome. We also know that we pick on Peter sometimes because he was packing heat and cut somebody's ear off. That was pretty violent, right? But tonight, I want to talk about this really intimate moment where what we believe in Scripture is that the Apostle Peter knew something, that he knew that the gospel was for a group of people, and yet he desired, when he saw this play out, to do something that actually was so subtle that you can almost miss it in Scripture. But then what ends up happening when we read this passage is we see the fact that he was actually, by choosing to put on a mask, in this case by choosing to hide, he was doing something that was incredibly harmful to a portion of the body of Christ. And so if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse 11. And when we read this, I'll remind you that Cephas is the name for the Apostle Peter. And here we're going to understand something quite profound about him. It says, but when Cephas came to Antioch, this is the Apostle Paul speaking as he wrote to a group of people that were a part of his precious church that he loved. He said, I opposed him to his church. What's it say? His face. He got all up in his business. He literally says, I opposed him to his face. And I want you to catch this. This is a part of the point this evening, is that when he does this, this is not an act of defiance alone, but it's actually an act of love. And the reason it's an act of love is because the Apostle Paul sees something about Peter that is so relatable to me, and that is his natural tendency to want to go with the flow. The natural tendency that he has to allow his faith to be a part of something that was important to him, but when it really hit the road, this is what we see happen. It says he stood condemned, literally in the text. says, "For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and he separated himself." Now for us, this doesn't feel that controversial, but what was happening is that God had already done some amazing things working through as the gospel is spreading. Gentiles are receiving the gospel. Dave mentioned this morning. And as the gospel is spreading, now there's this question, do I have to become Jewish if I'm a Gentile before I become a Christ follower? And there are people who debated it, and it had been settled. We see this in the text previous, and we also see this in the book of Acts, that there was a council where they wrestled with what this meant, and there was an understanding that the gospel was sufficient. Church, can we agree that the gospel is always sufficient? That we don't need to add anything to the gospel. And that is why this book carries with it some heat. And that's why the Apostle Paul brought the heat when he lovingly confronted the Apostle Peter. He says, because he literally stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. He's hanging out with them. He's fellowshipping with them. And then there's this contingency of elite people from Jerusalem. And when they come in, they have a different theological belief. And what we see from Peter is this thing that he chooses to do. It says, when they came, he drew back and he separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him. So that even Barnabas, do you remember what we know about Barnabas? He's literally described as the son of encouragement, that he's distracted at this moment. He's led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? This confrontation was one that was intense, but it was one that was based in love. Church, for us this evening, I want to ask you to consider a simple statement, and that is a temptation that we have. I admit that I am tempted at times to project a better version of myself on others. And here I think that that's what Peter was choosing to do. Even though he'd regularly eaten with these folks, he starts to pull himself back. And we know from Acts 10 that there was this experience that he'd already had from God, where God had said to him, don't call unclean what I have called clean. God had spoken to him. He had heard a message from God. So Peter wasn't in doubt about doing something wrong. What really happened for Peter is that he just caved under pressure. He was a man who chose to pretend. If I can be vulnerable with you this evening, I want to just share with you that some of the reality of my pastoral ministry, we'd like to talk in the Alliance about the deeper life, right? We talk about having a deep, intimate relationship with the Lord. And I can say to you that there have been times in pastoral ministry where I was ministering out of a very shallow life. And there were these times when God just pierced my heart. I can remember sitting down with my daughters, one of my daughters, and we were just praying. And as we got down to pray, and I'm sitting there, my wife is with us, I start the prayer and I said, "Dear Lord, thank you for the food." That's literally what I prayed. Why am I praying? At that moment, I am not praying to the Lord. I'm just repeating something that was a part of the rhythms. Anybody else do this before? I'm the only one. It hurts. I feel very lonely up here. But at that moment, the conviction that fell over me is, what am I doing here? I don't want to share this story with you, but I was sitting in the back of the session this morning, just felt like God was asking me to do it. I've never shared this before. But when I was in seminary, I loved my time in seminary. I had the privilege, I loved the privilege of teaching and preaching. And I was given an honor to be allowed to preach to the campus or in chapel. And when I was done doing that, it was in a very unique time. So it was my senior year, and at the seminary that I attended, it was incredibly awkward because all of your professors sat behind you when you were preaching. And so I have all of these professors, many of them read their books, just cherished their involvement in my life, respected them very much. You know, it's weird to have your Hebrew prof sitting beside you when you're preaching from the Old Testament, right? But I made it extra weird because they had made it a competition, and there were five different individuals that were given the privilege to preach, and the winner of this you can't make this up. The winner of this competition would receive a significant scholarship at the end of the time. And so as I was given this privilege, I can remember preparing for it. My prof told me that there was a couple of stipulations. One of them was that you shouldn't have sermon notes, and it was just a part of their conviction. And so in that time, I just remember in my heart that the thing that I feared, and I think that this is a fear that some of us have, is that I am going to be exposed as a fraud. That I'm going to be exposed as somebody who is not going to, I mean, literally the other people who are preaching, one was a trial lawyer, one was a PhD who'd written books that you've read before. And so here I am, and then it's just Sean, right? It's kind of like this week. You have the president, Diaz, and then it's Sean, right? And so at that moment, though, I can remember the night before. I can remember very specifically how nervous I was wrestling with God. And I got my little pencil out, and I took my Bible, and I thought, well, you know what? They said I can't have notes, but I'm going to just write my notes in between the lines. They'll think it's like, you know, my sermon platitudes from years before or something like that. So I snuck my sermon notes in there. Went ahead and preached the message and just had a sweet time. People were very kind afterwards. And then a couple of days later, the president of the school invited me in, and there was one of my profs there with me. And they were extremely kind. They were very generous. And they just said to me that I had been blessed to have won the thing or whatever, which is so weird. But then they went on to say, but there were people who noticed that were sitting up there on the stage, shocking, like the smartest people in the world that I know, noticed the fact that you had notes with you. And so after he had shared this with me, he said that we've decided to do, you know, we're going to bless this other person. And he just shared it with me. And I'm just going to be honest with you that at that moment, I just felt like everything about me was exposed in a way that made me question if God would allow me to do ministry. Am I a fraud? What does he want to do? And I just want to acknowledge with you that I think that is the voice of the deceiver, right? That it's the voice of the deceiver that says to us, if we allow ourselves to be vulnerable and to be seen, that there's probably some sort of rejection that's associated with it. And so when I look at the Apostle Peter in this moment, I just feel so much familiarity with Peter as we study him, because I just sense that what he's doing here is he's like, can I just do it in both? Can I be in the room, but can I disassociate? Can I choose to allow myself to be protected and yet be in this setting? And the Apostle Paul comes in and he says basically a truth that we know, and that is, it is impossible for us to serve both God and men. Do you notice when I use the illustration about me talking about the Bible and the notes and everything, that God wasn't in that, in any of that portion of that? That I was thinking about sermons, I was thinking about how it was presented, I was thinking about my identity, I was thinking about how people would respond to me. And I'll just be honest with you, there was no God in the middle of that I was trying to glorify. Instead, the truth be told, I was more concerned about glorifying myself. And I think that for us, this is probably what the Apostle Peter was doing, is that he was allowing himself to be confused by what it meant to serve God. In Galatians chapter 1:20, the question the Apostle Paul asks is a question that's worth all of us asking. He says, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. That passage is a question that I think every single one of us ought to ask ourselves. So the Lord of the universe knows our hearts. I love the simple and yet profound truth that we get to see in his word, where he describes to us servant-heartedness, and he describes to us what it means for us to obey him. A.W. Tozer famously said this in a sermon that was entitled, God Knows the Hypocrites. He says, it helps us to be honest and frank and humble, to know that the God Almighty knows the secrets of every person's heart. So can I share with you today the reality that we get to see from this passage is that my hypocrisy, it hurts others. My ability to try to put on a mask, it is kind of like we talked the other day, not too successful. My hypocrisy, what we get to see in Galatians 2:11 through 14 is that it affected Barnabas. It confused those who are part of this young, beautiful chapter in the history of the church. And so when we see the description of him being hypocritical, and we see that like the way it literally says, it was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I think that it helps me to get to a point that I think is really important. For many of us at a family camp like this, we're caring about the next generation. Many of us desire to see the next generation walk with Jesus. Many of you are here because you've brought grandchildren and children, and your desire is to see them walk with your Jesus. Amen? Can somebody agree with me on that? We long to see. We're told in Scripture there's no greater joy than to know that our children walk with the Lord. And I want to remind you today, I want to exhort you today, that it is very difficult for us to pass on values that we ourselves do not possess. That our children have an amazing way of seeing behind the veil of our hypocrisy, and they have a way of seeing our hearts. I have a dear friend that wrestles with me regularly. He's like, I just do not know why my kids will not go to church with me. And the truth is, and I have said it to him, it's because you're living with your girlfriend. And I look at this and I see his story, and it's not that I want to bring shame to him. It's just that he is a person who cannot see the fact that what they see is hindering his ability to represent the love of Jesus to them and to exhort them. And so church tonight, brothers and sisters tonight, when we talk about the relationship that we have, somebody said this to me when I was a youth pastor years ago. He said that youth ministry is going to be great for you because teenagers have a way of seeing through all of the things that we have the tendency, the masks that we have the tendency to put on, and they can see really what's going on in our hearts. And I want to challenge you tonight, as we talk about this blind side that is something that the Apostle Peter allowed to creep into his life, and praise the Lord, he was able to learn and to grow, and we know that there's a greater story that continued to play out, that there is a possibility for us to be vulnerable before the Lord in such a way that the truth is, praise the Lord, he knows these things about us already. When we talk about Psalm 139, verse 23, when we say, search me, O God, and know my heart, A.W. Tozer famously said, be hard on yourself and easy on others. Carry your own cross, but never lay one on the back of another. I think that part of the sadness of this story and what made the Apostle Paul fight so hard about in this is that he understood that by putting rules and regulations and confusion, he was actually doing something that the Lord Jesus warned us against. And that was that by doing things that are fraudulent, like the Pharisees were known to do, that we put burdens on other people's backs that we ourselves aren't willing to bear. That he described them like whitewashed tombs that look good on the outside, but they're just full of stinky dead stuff inside. And I think that for us, as we attempt to apply this truth in our lives, my encouragement to you and the encouragement I have to myself is my desire is to allow things to be a little bit messier in my life, but to allow things to be a little bit more authentic when it comes to the intimacy that I have with the Lord. And I think when that happens, what I have noticed in my relationship with Jesus is that in that messiness, it just seems like the Lord allows me to enter into more intimacy with him. And so I'm going to invite you to join me tonight. We're going to invite the worship team to come forward. We're going to sing an awesome song that talks about the goodness of our Lord, his faithfulness to us. And I'm going to invite you again one more time to just take a moment, just ask that the Lord would speak to you. Maybe like me, you've had a moment in your past. That portion of my life, the little preaching thing, was something that carried with it so much shame. And maybe tonight, God would like to invite you to set something aside that has been a source of shame in your life. Or maybe it's just time for you to recognize his loving kindness in a way that leads you to righteousness. Father God, we love you and we praise you. I thank you for the song that we're going to sing that just talks about your faithfulness. And humbly, Lord, I just pray that as we see the passion of the Apostle Paul trying to love his brother and protect him, I pray that tonight that we would sense your love for us and your desire to protect us. Father God, I thank you and praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.